or to his relatives' presence, or to his guild, or to the royal family's presence, and questioned as a witness thus, "So, good man, tell what you know." Not knowing, he says, "I do not know." Or knowing, he says, "I know." Not seeing, he says, "I do not see." Or seeing, he says, "I see." He does not in full awareness speak falsehood for his own ends, or for another's ends, or for some trifling worldly end. Abandoning malicious speech, he abstains from malicious speech. He does not repeat elsewhere what he has heard here in order to divide those people from these, nor does he repeat to these people what he has heard elsewhere in order to divide these people from those. Thus, he is one who reunites those who are divided, a promoter of friendships, who enjoys concord, rejoices in concord, delights in concord, a speaker of words that promote concord. Abandoning harsh speech, he abstains from harsh speech. He speaks such words as are gentle, pleasing to the ear, and lovable, as go to the heart, are courteous, desired by many, and agreeable to many. Abandoning idle chatter, he abstains from idle chatter. He speaks at the right time, speaks what is fact, speaks on what is good, speaks on the Dhamma and the discipline. At the right time he speaks such words as are worth recording, reasonable, moderate, and beneficial. That is how there are four kinds of righteous verbal conduct, conduct in accordance with the Dhamma. 14. And how, householders, are there three kinds of righteous mental conduct, conduct in accordance with the Dhamma? Here someone is not covetous. He does not covet the wealth and property of others thus, "Oh, may what belongs to another be mine." His mind is without ill will, and he has intentions free from hate thus, "May these beings be free from enmity, affliction, and anxiety. May they live happily." He has right view, undistorted vision thus, "There is what is given and what is offered and what is sacrificed. There is fruit and result of good and bad actions. There is this world and the other world. There is mother and father. There are beings who are reborn spontaneously. There are good and virtuous ascetics and Brahmins in the world who have themselves realized by direct knowledge and declare this world and the other world." That is how there are three kinds of righteous mental conduct, conduct in accordance with the Dhamma. So, householders, it is by reason of such righteous conduct, such conduct in accordance with the Dhamma, that some beings here, on the breakup of the body, after death, are reborn in a good destination, even in a heavenly world. 15. If, householders, one who observes righteous conduct, conduct in accordance with the Dhamma, should wish, "Oh, that on the breakup of the body, after death, may I be reborn in the company of well-to-do nobles," it is possible that, on the breakup of the body, after death, he will be reborn in the company of well-to-do nobles. Why is that? Because he observes righteous conduct, conduct in accordance with the Dhamma. 16 through 17. If, householders, one who observes righteous conduct, conduct in accordance with the Dhamma, should wish, "Oh, that on the breakup of the body after death, may I be reborn in the company of well-to-do Brahmins, in the company of well-to-do householders," it is possible that, on the breakup of the body, after death, he will be reborn in the company of well-to-do householders. Why is that? Because he observes righteous conduct, conduct in accordance with the Dhamma. 18 through 42. If, householders, one who observes righteous conduct, conduct in accordance with the Dhamma, should wish, "Oh, that on the breakup of the body after death, may I be reborn in the company of the devas of the realm of the four great kings, in the company of the Tavatimsa devas, the Yama devas, the Tusita devas, the devas who delight in creating, the devas who wield power over others' creations, the devas of Brahma's company, the devas of radiance, the devas of limited radiance, the devas of immeasurable radiance, the devas of streaming radiance, the devas of glory, the devas of limited glory, the devas of immeasurable glory, the devas of refulgent glory, the devas of great fruit, the Aviha Devas, the Atapa Devas, the Sudasa Devas, the Sudasi Devas, the Akanitha Devas, the Devas of the base of the infinity of space, the Devas of the base of the infinity of consciousness, the Devas of the base of nothingness, the Devas of the base of neither perception nor non-perception. It is possible that on the breakup of the body, after death, he will be reborn in the company of the Devas of the base of neither perception nor non-perception. Why is that? Because he observes righteous conduct, conduct in accordance with the Dhamma. 43. If, householders, one who observes conduct in accordance with the Dhamma, righteous conduct, should wish, oh, by realizing it for myself with direct knowledge, may I, in this very life, enter upon and dwell in the liberation of mind, liberation by wisdom, that is taintless with the destruction of the taints. It is possible that by realizing it for himself with direct knowledge, in this very life he will enter upon and dwell in the liberation of mind, liberation by wisdom, that is taintless with the destruction of the taints. Why is that? Because he observes righteous conduct, conduct in accordance with the Dhamma. 44. When this was said, the Brahmin householders of Sala said to the Blessed One, Magnificent Master Gotama, Magnificent Master Gotama, Master Gotama has made the Dhamma clear in many ways, as though he were turning upright what had been overthrown, revealing what was hidden, showing the way to one who was lost, or holding up a lamp in the darkness, so that those with good eyesight can see forms. We now go for refuge to Master Gotama, to the Dhamma, and to the Sangha of monks. Let Master Gotama accept us as lay followers who have gone for refuge from today until life's end. Majjhima Nikaya, 41. Salayaka Sutta, 1, 286 through 290. Verse 3. Kama and its fruits. 1. Thus have I heard. On one occasion, the Blessed One was living at Savatthi in Jeta's Grove, Anathapindika's park. 2. Then the Brahmin student Subha, Todaya's son, went to the Blessed One and exchanged greetings with him. When this courteous and amiable talk was finished, he sat down at one side and asked the Blessed One. 3. Master Gotama, why is it that human beings are seen to be inferior and superior? For people are seen to be short-lived and long-lived, sickly and healthy, ugly and beautiful, without influence and influential, poor and wealthy, low-born and high-born, stupid and wise. Why is it, Master Gotama, that human beings are seen to be inferior and superior? 4. Student, beings are owners of their actions, heirs of their actions. They originate from their actions, are bound to their actions, have their actions as their refuge. It is action that distinguishes beings as inferior and superior. I do not understand in detail the meaning of Master Gotama's statement, which he spoke in brief without expounding the meaning in detail. It would be good if Master Gotama would teach me the Dhamma, so that I might understand in detail the meaning of his statement. Then, student, listen, and attend closely to what I shall say. Yes, sir, Subha replied. The Blessed One said this. 5. Here, student, some man or woman kills living beings and is murderous, bloody-handed, given to blows and violence, merciless to living beings. Because of performing and undertaking such action, on the breakup of the body, after death, he is reborn in a state of misery, in a bad destination, in the lower world, in hell. But if on the breakup of the body, after death, he is not reborn in a state of misery, in a bad destination, in the lower world, in hell, but instead comes back to the human state, then wherever he is reborn, he is short-lived. This is the way, student, that leads to short life, Namely, one kills living beings and is murderous, bloody-handed, given to blows and violence, merciless to living beings. 6. But here, student, some man or woman, abandoning the destruction of life, abstains from the destruction of life, with rod and weapon laid aside, conscientious, merciful. He dwells compassionate to all living beings, because of performing and undertaking such action, on the breakup of the body, after death. He is reborn in a good destination, in a heavenly world. But if on the breakup of the body, after death, he is not reborn in a good destination, in a heavenly world, but instead comes back to the human state, then wherever he is reborn, he is long-lived. This is the way, student, that leads to long life. Namely, abandoning the destruction of life. One abstains from the destruction of life, with rod and weapon laid aside, conscientious, merciful. One dwells compassionate to all living beings. 7. Here, student, some man or woman is given to injuring beings with the hand, with a clod, with a stick, or with a knife, because of performing and undertaking such action, on the breakup of the body, after death, he is reborn in a state of misery. But if instead he comes back to the human state, then wherever he is reborn, he is sickly. This is the way, student, that leads to sickliness. Namely, one is given to injuring beings with the hand, with a clod, with a stick, or with a knife. 8. But here, student, some man or woman is not given to injuring beings with the hand, with a clod, with a stick, or with a knife, because of performing and undertaking such action, on the breakup of the body after death, he is reborn in a good destination. But if instead he comes back to the human state, then wherever he is reborn, he is healthy. This is the way, student, that leads to health. Namely, one is not given to injuring beings with the hand, with a clod, with a stick, or with a knife. 9. Here, student, some man or woman is of an angry and irritable character. Even when criticized a little, he is offended, becomes angry, hostile and resentful, and displays anger, hate, and bitterness. Because of performing and undertaking such action, he is reborn in a state of misery. But if instead he comes back to the human state, then wherever he is reborn, he is ugly. This is the way, student, that leads to ugliness. Namely, one is of an angry and irritable character, and displays anger, hate, and bitterness. 10. But here, student, some man or woman is not of an angry and irritable character. Even when criticized a little, he is not offended, does not become angry, hostile, and resentful, and does not display anger, hate, and bitterness. Because of performing and undertaking such action, he is reborn in a good destination. But if instead he comes back to the human state, then wherever he is reborn, he is beautiful. This is the way, student, that leads to being beautiful. Namely, one is not of an angry and irritable character, and does not display anger, hate, and bitterness. 11. Here, student, some man or woman is envious. One who envies, resents, and begrudges the gains, honor, respect, reverence, salutations, and veneration received by others. Because of performing and undertaking such action, he is reborn in a state of misery. But if instead he comes back to the human state, then wherever he is reborn, he is without influence. This is the way, student, that leads to being without influence. Namely, one is envious toward the gains, honor, respect, reverence, salutations, and veneration received by others. 12. But here, student, some man or woman is not envious. One who does not envy, resent, and begrudge the gains, honor, respect, reverence, salutations, and veneration received by others. Because of performing and undertaking such action, he is reborn in a good destination. But if instead he comes back to the human state, then wherever he is reborn, he is influential. This is the way, student, that leads to being influential. Namely, one is not envious. Toward the gains, honor, respect, reverence, salutations, and veneration received by others. 13. Here, student, some man or woman does not give food, drink, clothing, carriages, garlands, scents, unguents, beds, dwelling, and lamps to ascetics or Brahmins. Because of performing and undertaking such action, he is reborn in a state of misery. But if instead he comes back to the human state, then wherever he is reborn he is poor. This is the way, student, that leads to poverty. Namely, one does not give food and lamps to ascetics or Brahmins. 14. But here, student, some man or woman gives food and lamps to ascetics or Brahmins. Because of performing and undertaking such action, he is reborn in a good destination. But if instead he comes back to the human state, then wherever he is reborn he is wealthy. This is the way, student, that leads to wealth. Namely, one gives food and lamps to ascetics or Brahmins. 15. Here, student, some man or woman is obstinate and arrogant. He does not pay homage to one who should receive homage, does not rise up for one in whose presence he should rise up, does not offer a seat to one who deserves a seat, does not make way for one for whom he should make way, and does not honor, respect, revere, and venerate one who should be honored, respected, revered, and venerated. Because of performing and undertaking such action, he is reborn in a state of misery. But if instead he comes back to the human state, then wherever he is reborn, he is lowborn. This is the way, student, that leads to low birth. Namely, one is obstinate and arrogant, and does not honor, respect, revere, and venerate one who should be honored, respected, revered, and venerated. 16. But here, student, some man or woman is not obstinate and arrogant. He pays homage to one who should receive homage, rises up for one in whose presence he should rise up, offers a seat to one who deserves a seat, makes way for one for whom he should make way, and honors, respects, reveres, and venerates one who should be honored, respected, revered, and venerated. Because of performing and undertaking such action, he is reborn in a good destination. But if instead he comes back to the human state, then wherever he is reborn, he is highborn. This is the way, student, that leads to high birth. Namely, one is not obstinate and arrogant, and honors, respects, reveres, and venerates one who should be honored, respected, revered, and venerated. 17. Here, student, some man or woman does not visit an ascetic or a Brahmin and ask, "Venerable sir, what is wholesome? What is unwholesome? What is blamable? What is blameless? What should be cultivated? What should not be cultivated? What kind of action will lead to my harm and suffering for a long time? What kind of action will lead to my welfare and happiness for a long time?" Because of performing and undertaking such action, he is reborn in a state of misery. But if instead he comes back to the human state, then wherever he is reborn, he is stupid. This is the way, student, that leads to stupidity. Namely, one does not visit an ascetic or Brahmin and ask such questions. 18. But here, student, some man or woman visits an ascetic or a Brahmin and asks, "Venerable sir, what is wholesome? What kind of action will lead to my welfare and happiness for a long time?" Because of performing and undertaking such action, he is reborn in a good destination. But if instead he comes back to the human state, then wherever he is reborn, he is wise. This is the way, student, that leads to wisdom. Namely, one visits an ascetic or Brahmin and asks such questions. 19. Thus, student, the way that leads to short life makes people short-lived. The way that leads to long life makes people long-lived. The way that leads to sickliness makes people sickly. The way that leads to health makes people healthy. The way that leads to ugliness makes people ugly. The way that leads to beauty makes people beautiful. The way that leads to being uninfluential makes people uninfluential. The way that leads to being influential makes people influential. The way that leads to poverty makes people poor. The way that leads to wealth makes people wealthy. The way that leads to low birth makes people low-born. The way that leads to high birth makes people high-born. The way that leads to stupidity makes people stupid. The way that leads to wisdom makes people wise. 20. Beings are owners of their actions, heirs of their actions. They originate from their actions, are bound to their actions, have their actions as their refuge. It is action that distinguishes beings as inferior and superior. 21. When this was said, the Brahmin student Subha, Todaya's son, said to the Blessed One, "Magnificent Master Gotama! Magnificent Master Gotama!" As in preceding text, "Let Master Gotama accept me as a lay follower who has gone for refuge from today until life's end." Majhima Nikaya 135. Kulakama Vibhanga Sutta 3, 202 through 206. Part 2. Merit. The Key to Good Fortune. Verse 1. Meritorious Deeds. Monks, do not fear meritorious deeds. This is an expression denoting happiness, what is desirable, wished for, dear and agreeable. That is, meritorious deeds. For I know full well, monks, that for a long time I experienced desirable, wished for, dear and agreeable results from often performing meritorious deeds. Having cultivated for 7 years a mind of loving kindness, for 7 eons of contraction and expansion, I did not return to this world. Whenever the eon contracted, I reached the plane of streaming radiance. And when the eon expanded, I arose in an empty divine mansion. And there I was, Brahma, the great Brahma, the unvanquished victor, the all-seeing, the all-powerful. 36 times I was Saka, ruler of the Devas, and many hundreds of times I was a wheel-turning monarch, righteous, a king of righteousness, conqueror of the 4 regions of the earth, maintaining stability in the land, in possession of the 7 treasures. What need is there to speak of mere local kingship? It occurred to me, monks, to wonder, of what kind of deed of mine is this the fruit? Of what deeds ripening am I now of such great accomplishment and power? And then it occurred to me, it is the fruit of 3 kinds of deeds of mine, the ripening of 3 kinds of deeds, that I am now of such great accomplishment and power. Deeds of giving, of self-mastery, and of refraining. Itivutaka 22, 14 through 15. Verse 2. 3 bases of merit. There are, O monks, 3 ways of making merit. What 3? There are ways of making merit by giving, by moral discipline, and by the development of meditation. There is a person who has practiced the making of merit by giving only to a limited degree, and likewise, to a limited degree, he has practiced the making of merit by moral discipline, but he has not undertaken the making of merit by meditation. With the breakup of the body after death, he will be reborn among humans in an unfavorable condition. Another person has practiced the making of merit by giving, as well as by moral discipline to a high degree, but he has not undertaken the making of merit by meditation. With the breakup of the body, after death, he will be reborn among humans in a favorable condition. Or he will be reborn in the company of the Devas of the 4 great kings. And there the 4 great kings, who had practiced to a very high degree the making of merit by giving and by moral discipline, surpass the Devas of their realm in 10 respects, in divine lifespan, divine beauty, divine happiness, divine fame, divine power, and in divine sights, sounds, smells, tastes, and touches. Or he will be reborn in the company of the Tavatisma Devas, and there Saka, ruler of the Devas, who had practiced the making of merit by giving and by moral discipline to a very high degree, surpasses the devas of their realm in 10 respects, in divine lifespan, divine beauty, divine happiness, divine fame, divine power, and in divine sights, sounds, smells, tastes, and touches. Similar statements are made for rebirth among the Yama Devas, Tusita Devas, the Devas who delight in creating, the Devas who wield power over others' creations, and for the respective rulers of these realms. These, monks, are the three ways of making merit. Anguttara Nikaya 8:36 4. 241 through 243. Verse 3. The best kinds of confidence. Monks, there are these four best kinds of confidence. What for? To whatever extent there are beings, whether footless or with 2 feet, 4 feet, or many feet, whether having form or formless, whether percipient, non-percipient, or neither percipient nor non-percipient, the Tathagata, the Arahant, the perfectly enlightened one, is declared the best among them. Those who have confidence in the Buddha have confidence in the best, and for those who have confidence in the best, the result is best. To whatever extent there are things that are conditioned, the Noble Eightfold Path is declared the best among them. Those who have confidence in the Noble Eightfold Path have confidence in the best, and for those who have confidence in the best, the result is best. To whatever extent there are things, whether conditioned or unconditioned, dispassion is declared the best among them, that is, the crushing of pride, the removal of thirst, the uprooting of attachment, the termination of the round, the destruction of craving, dispassion, cessation, nibbana. Those who have confidence in the Dhamma have confidence in the best, and for those who have confidence in the best, the result is best. To whatever extent there are communities or groups, the Tathagata's Sangha of disciples is declared the best among them, that is, the four pairs of persons, the 8 types of individuals. This Sangha of the Blessed One's disciples is worthy of gifts, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offerings, worthy of reverential salutation, the unsurpassed field of merit for the world. Those who have confidence in the Sangha have confidence in the best, and for those who have confidence in the best, the result is best. For those who have confidence as the best, for those who understand the best Dhamma, for those who have confidence in the Buddha, the unsurpassed one worthy of offerings, for those who have confidence in the Dhamma, in blissful dispassion, perfect peace, for those who have confidence in the Sangha, the field of merit unsurpassed, for those giving gifts to the best kind of merit increases, the best lifespan, beauty and fame, good reputation, happiness and strength, whether he becomes a deva or a human being, the wise one who gives of the best, concentrated upon the best Dhamma, rejoices when he has attained to the best. Anguttara Nikaya 4:34 2. 34 through 35. Part 3. Giving. Verse 1. If people knew the result of giving. O monks, if people knew, as I know, the result of giving and sharing, they would not eat without having given, nor would they allow the stain of niggardliness to obsess them and take root in their minds. Even if it were their last morsel, their last mouthful, they would not eat without having shared it, if there were someone to share it with. But monks, as people do not know, as I know, the result of giving and sharing, they eat without having given, and the stain of niggardliness obsesses them and takes root in their minds. Itivutaka 26, 18 through 19. Verse 2. Reasons for giving. There are, O monks, 8 reasons for giving. What 8? People may give out of affection, or in an angry mood, or out of stupidity, or out of fear, or with the thought, such gifts have been given before by my father and grandfather, and it was done by them before, hence it would be unworthy of me to give up this old family tradition. Or with the thought, by giving this gift, I shall be reborn in a good destination, in a heavenly world, after death. Or with the thought, when giving this gift, my heart will be glad, and happiness and joy will arise in me. Or one gives because it ennobles and adorns the mind. Anguttara Nikaya, 8:33. 4. 236 through 237. Verse 3. The Gift of Food. On one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling among the Kalayans, at a town called Sajanela. One morning, the Blessed One dressed, took his upper robe and bowl, and went to the dwelling of Supavasa, a Kalayan lady. Having arrived there, he sat down on the seat prepared for him. The Kalayan lady, Supavasa, attended to the Blessed One personally and served him with various kinds of delicious food. When the Blessed One had finished his meal and had withdrawn his hand from the bowl, the Kalayan lady, Supavasa, sat down to one side, and the Blessed One addressed her as follows. Supavasa, a noble female disciple, by giving food, gives four things to those who receive it. What for? She gives long life, beauty, happiness, and strength. By giving long life, she herself will be endowed with long life. Human or divine? By giving beauty, she herself will be endowed with beauty, human or divine. By giving happiness, she herself will be endowed with happiness, human or divine. By giving strength, she herself will be endowed with strength, human or divine. A noble female disciple, by giving food, gives those four things to those who receive it. Anguttara Nikaya, 457. 2. 62 through 63. Verse 4. A superior person's gifts. There are, O monks, these five gifts of a superior person. What five? He gives a gift out of faith. He gives a gift respectfully. He gives a gift at the right time. He gives a gift with a generous heart. He gives a gift without denigration. Because he gives a gift out of faith, wherever the result of that gift ripens, he becomes rich, affluent, and wealthy. And he is handsome, comely, graceful, endowed with supreme beauty of complexion. Because he gives a gift respectfully, wherever the result of that gift ripens, he becomes rich, affluent, and wealthy. And his children and wives, his slaves, messengers, and workers are obedient, lend their ears to him, and apply their minds to understand him. Because he gives a gift at the right time, wherever the result of that gift ripens, he becomes rich, affluent, and wealthy, and benefits come to him at the right time, in abundant measure. Because he gives a gift with a generous heart, wherever the result of that gift ripens, he becomes rich, affluent, and wealthy, and his mind inclines to the enjoyment of excellent things among the five chords of sensual pleasure. Because he gives a gift without denigrating himself and others, wherever the result of that gift ripens, he becomes rich, affluent, and wealthy. And no loss of his wealth takes place from any quarter, whether from fire, floods, the king, bandits, or unloved heirs. These, monks, are the five gifts of a superior person. Anguttara Nikaya, 5:148, 3:172. Through 173. Verse 5. Mutual Support. Monks, Brahmins, and householders are very helpful to you. They provide you with the requisites of robes, alms food, lodgings, and medicines in time of sickness, and you, monks, are very helpful to Brahmins and householders, as you teach them the Dhamma that is good in the beginning, the middle, and the end, with the correct meaning and wording. And you proclaim the spiritual life in its fulfillment and complete purity. Thus, monks, this spiritual life is lived with mutual support for the purpose of crossing the flood and making a complete end of suffering. Itivutaka, 107, 111. Verse 6. Rebirth on account of giving. There are, O monks, eight kinds of rebirth on account of giving. What eight? Here, monks, a certain person makes a gift to an ascetic or a Brahmin, offering him food, drink, clothing and vehicles, garlands, scents and unguents, bedding, lodging and lighting. In making the gift, he hopes for a reward. He now notices affluent nobles, Brahmins, or householders, enjoying themselves provided and furnished with the five objects of sensual pleasure, and he thinks, "Oh, with the breakup of the body after death, may I be reborn among them." And he sets his mind on that thought, keeps to it firmly, and fosters it. This thought of his aims at what is low, and if not developed to what is higher, it will lead him to just such a rebirth. With the breakup of the body, after death, he will be reborn among affluent nobles, Brahmins, or householders. This, however, I declare only for the morally pure, not for the immoral. For it is due to his purity, monks, that the heart's desire of the morally pure succeeds. Then again, a certain person makes a gift to an ascetic or a Brahmin, offering him food or lighting. In making the gift, he hopes for a reward. He now hears of the long life, the beauty and the great happiness of the devas in the realm of the four great kings, the Tavatisma devas, the Yama devas, the Tusita devas, the devas who delight in creating, the devas who wield power over others' creations, and he wishes to be reborn among them. He sets his mind on that thought, keeps to it firmly, and fosters it. This thought of his aims at what is low, and if not developed to what is higher, it will lead him to just such a rebirth. After his death, when his body breaks up, he will be reborn among the devas in the realm of the four great kings, or among the devas who wield power over others' creations. This, however, I declare only for the morally pure, not for the immoral. For it is due to his purity, monks, that the heart's desire of the morally pure succeeds. Then again, a certain person makes a gift to an ascetic or a Brahmin, offering him food or lighting. He now hears of the long life, the beauty, and the great happiness of the devas of Brahma's company, and he wishes to be reborn among them. He sets his mind on that thought, keeps to it firmly, and fosters it. This thought of his aims at what is low, and if not developed to what is higher, it will lead him to just such a rebirth. After his death, when his body breaks up, he will be reborn among the devas of Brahma's company. This, however, I declare only for the morally pure, not for the immoral, only for one free of lust, not for one who is lustful. Because he is without lust, monks, the heart's desire of the morally pure succeeds. These, monks, are the eight kinds of rebirth on account of giving. Anguttara Nikaya 8:35. 4. 239-241. Part 4. Moral Discipline. Verse 1. The Five Precepts. There are, O monks, eight streams of merit, streams of the wholesome nourishments of happiness, that are heavenly, ripening in happiness, conducive to heaven, and that lead to whatever is wished for, loved and agreeable, to one's welfare and happiness. What are the eight? Here, monks, a noble disciple has gone for refuge to the Buddha. This is the first stream of merit, stream of the wholesome nourishment of happiness, that is heavenly, ripening in happiness, conducive to heaven, and that leads to whatever is wished for, loved and agreeable, to one's welfare and happiness. Further, a noble disciple has gone for refuge to the Dhamma. This is the second stream of merit, that leads to whatever is wished for, loved and agreeable, to one's welfare and happiness. Further, a noble disciple has gone for refuge to the Sangha. This is the third stream of merit, that leads to whatever is wished for, loved and agreeable, to one's welfare and happiness. There are, further, monks, these five gifts, pristine, of long standing, traditional, ancient, unadulterated, and never before adulterated, that are not being adulterated, and that will not be adulterated, not despised by wise ascetics and Brahmins. What are these five gifts? Here, monks, a noble disciple gives up the destruction of life and abstains from it. By abstaining from the destruction of life, the noble disciple gives to immeasurable beings freedom from fear, hostility, and oppression. By giving to immeasurable beings freedom from fear, hostility, and oppression, he himself will enjoy immeasurable freedom from fear, hostility, and oppression. This is the first of those great gifts and the fourth stream of merit. Further, monks, a noble disciple gives up the taking of what is not given and abstains from it. By abstaining from taking what is not given, the noble disciple gives to immeasurable beings freedom from fear. This is the second of those great gifts and the fifth stream of merit. Further, monks, a noble disciple gives up sexual misconduct and abstains from it. By abstaining from sexual misconduct, the noble disciple gives to immeasurable beings freedom from fear. This is the third of those great gifts and the sixth stream of merit. Further, monks, a noble disciple gives up false speech and abstains from it. By abstaining from false speech, the noble disciple gives to immeasurable beings freedom from fear. This is the fourth of those great gifts and the seventh stream of merit. Further, monks, a noble disciple gives up wines, liquors, and intoxicants, the basis for negligence, and abstains from them. By abstaining from wines, liquors, and intoxicants, the noble disciple gives to immeasurable beings freedom from fear, hostility, and oppression. By giving to immeasurable beings freedom from fear, hostility, and oppression, he himself will enjoy immeasurable freedom from fear, hostility, and oppression. This is the fifth of those great gifts and the eighth stream of merit. These, monks, are the eight streams of merit, streams of the wholesome, nourishments of happiness, which are heavenly, ripening in happiness, conducive to heaven, and which lead to whatever is wished for, loved, and agreeable, to one's welfare and happiness. Anguttara Nikaya, 839. 4. 245 through 247. Verse 2. The Uposatha Observance. When, O monks, the Uposatha observance is complete in eight factors, it is of great fruit and benefit, luminous and pervasive. And how is the Uposatha observance complete in eight factors? Here, monks, a noble disciple reflects thus. As long as they live, the arahants abandon the destruction of life, abstain from the destruction of life. With the rod and weapon laid aside, they are conscientious and merciful and dwell compassionate toward all living beings. Today, I too, for this day and night, will do likewise. I will imitate the arahants in this respect, and the Uposatha observance will be fulfilled by me. This is the first factor it possesses. Further, he reflects, as long as they live, the arahants abandon the taking of what is not given, abstain from taking what is not given. They accept only what is given, expect only what is given, and dwell with honest hearts devoid of theft. Today I too, for this day and night, will do likewise. This is the second factor it possesses. As long as they live, the arahants abandon sexual relations and observe celibacy, living apart, refraining from the coarse practice of sexual intercourse. Today I too, for this day and night, will do likewise. This is the third factor it possesses. As long as they live, the arahants abandon false speech, abstain from false speech. They are speakers of truth, adherents of truth, trustworthy and reliable. No deceivers of the world. Today I too, for this day and night, will do likewise. This is the fourth factor it possesses. As long as they live, the arahants abandon wines, liquors, and intoxicants, the basis of negligence, and abstain from them. Today I too, for this day and night, will do likewise. This is the fifth factor it possesses. As long as they live, the arahants eat only one meal a day and refrain from eating at night, outside the proper time. Today I too, for this day and night, will do likewise. This is the sixth factor it possesses. As long as they live, the Arahants abstain from dancing, singing, instrumental music, and unsuitable shows, and from adorning themselves by wearing garlands and applying scents and ointments. Today I too, for this day and night, will do likewise. This is the seventh factor it possesses. As long as they live, the Arahants abandon the use of high and luxurious beds and seats, and abstain from using them. They make use of low resting places, either small beds or straw mats. Today I too, for this day and night, will do likewise. I will imitate the Arahants in this respect, and the Uposatha observance will be fulfilled by me. This is the eighth factor it possesses. When, monks, the Uposatha observance is complete in these eight factors, it is of great fruit and benefit, luminous and pervasive. And to what extent is it of great fruit and benefit, luminous and pervasive? Suppose, monks, someone were to exercise sovereignty and dominion over these 16 great countries, abounding in the seven precious treasures, that is, Anga, Magadha, Kasi, Kosala, the Vajis, the Malas, the Setis, Vamsa, the Kurus, the Pankalas, Makcha, Surasena, Asaka, Avanti, Gandhara, and Cambodia. This would not be worth a 16th part of the Uposatha observance complete in those eight factors. For what reason? Because human kingship is poor compared to divine happiness. For the devas in the realm of the four great kings, a single day and night is equivalent to 50 human years. 30 such days make up a month, and 12 such months make up a year. The lifespan of the devas in the realm of the four great kings is 500 such celestial years. It is possible, monks, that if some man or woman here observes the Uposatha complete in these eight factors, with the breakup of the body, after death, they will be reborn in the company of the devas in the realm of the four great kings. It was with reference to this that I said human kingship is poor compared to divine happiness. For the Tavatimsa devas, a single day and night is equivalent to 100 human years. The lifespan of the Tavatimsa devas is 1,000 such celestial years. For the Yama devas, a single day and night is equivalent to 200 human years. The lifespan of the Yama devas is 2,000 such celestial years. For the Tusita devas, a single day and night is equivalent to 400 human years. The lifespan of the Tusita devas is 4,000 such celestial years. For the devas who delight in creating, a single day and night is equivalent to 800 human years. The lifespan of the devas who delight in creating is 8,000 such celestial years. For the devas who wield power over others' creation, a single day and night is equivalent to 1,600 human years. 30 such days make up a month, and 12 such months make up a year. The lifespan of the devas who wield power over others' creation is 16,000 celestial years. It is possible, monks, that if some man or woman here observes the Uposatha complete in these eight factors, with the breakup of the body after death, they will be reborn in the company of the devas who wield power over others' creations. It was with reference to this that I said human kingship is poor compared to divine happiness. Anguttara Nikaya, 8:41. 4. 248 through 251. Part 5. Meditation. Verse 1. The development of loving kindness. Monks, whatever grounds there are for making merit productive of a future birth, all these do not equal a 16th part of the liberation of mind by loving kindness. The liberation of mind by loving kindness surpasses them and shines forth, bright and brilliant. Just as the radiance of all the stars does not equal a 16th part of the moon's radiance, but the moon's radiance surpasses them and shines forth, bright and brilliant. Even so, whatever grounds there are for making merit productive of a future birth, All these do not equal a 1/16 part of the liberation of mind by loving kindness. The liberation of mind by loving kindness surpasses them and shines forth bright and brilliant. Just as in the last month of the rainy season, in the autumn, when the sky is clear and free of clouds, the sun, on ascending, dispels the darkness of space and shines forth bright and brilliant. Even so, whatever grounds there are for making merit productive of a future birth, all these do not equal a 1/16 part of the liberation of mind by loving kindness. The liberation of mind by loving kindness surpasses them and shines forth, bright and brilliant. And just as in the night, at the moment of dawn, the morning star shines forth, bright and brilliant, even so, whatever grounds there are for making merit productive of a future birth, all these do not equal a 1/16 part of the liberation of mind by loving kindness. The liberation of mind by loving kindness surpasses them and shines forth, bright and brilliant. Iti Vutaka, 27, 19 through 21. Verse 2. The Four Divine Abodes. 22. The Brahmin student Subha, Todeya's son, said to the Blessed One, Master Gotama, I have heard that the ascetic Gotama knows the path to the company of Brahma. What do you think, student? Is the village of Nalakara near here, not far from here? Yes, sir, the village of Nalakara is near here, not far from here. What do you think, student? Suppose there was a man born and raised in the village of Nalakara, and as soon as he had left Nalakara, they asked him about the path to the village. Would that man be slow or hesitant in answering? No, Master Gotama. Why is that? Because the man has been born and raised in Nalakara, and is well acquainted with all the paths to the village. Still, a man born and raised in the village of Nalakara might be slow or hesitant in answering when asked about the path to the village, but a Tathagata, when asked about the Brahma world or the way leading to the Brahma world, would never be slow or hesitant in answering. I understand Brahma, and I understand the Brahma world, and I understand the way leading to the Brahma world, and I understand how one should practice to be reborn in the Brahma world. 23. Master Gotama, I have heard that the ascetic Gotama teaches the path to the company of Brahma. It would be good if Master Gotama would teach me the path to the company of Brahma. Then, student, listen and attend closely to what I shall say. Yes, sir, he replied. The Blessed One said this. 24. What, student, is the path to the company of Brahma? Here a monk dwells, pervading one quarter with a mind imbued with loving kindness, likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. So above, below, around, and everywhere, and to all as to himself, he dwells pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with loving kindness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility, and without ill will. When the liberation of mind by loving kindness is developed in this way, no limiting action remains there. None persists there. Just as a vigorous trumpeter could make himself heard without difficulty in the four quarters, so too, when the liberation of mind by loving kindness is developed in this way, no limiting action remains there. None persists there. This is the path to the company of Brahma. 25 through 27. Again, a monk dwells pervading one quarter with a mind imbued with compassion, with a mind imbued with altruistic joy, with a mind imbued with equanimity. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. So above, below, around, and everywhere, and to all as to himself, he dwells pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with equanimity, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility, and without ill will. When the liberation of mind by equanimity is developed in this way, no limiting action remains there. None persists there. Just as a vigorous trumpeter could make himself heard without difficulty in the four quarters, So too, when the liberation of mind by equanimity is developed in this way, no limiting action remains there. None persists there. This too is the path to the company of Brahma. From Majjhima Nikaya 99, Subha Sutta 2, 206 through 208. Verse 3. Insight surpasses all. The Buddha said to Anathapindika, "In the past, householder, there was a Brahmin named Vilama. He gave such a great alms offering as this, 84,000 bowls of gold filled with silver, 84,000 bowls of silver filled with gold, 84,000 bronze bowls filled with bullion, 84,000 elephants, chariots, milk cows, maidens, and couches, many millions of fine cloths, and indescribable amounts of food, drink, ointment, and bedding. As great as was the alms offering that the Brahmin Vilama gave, it would be even more fruitful if one would feed a single person possessed of right view. As great as the Brahmin Vilama's alms offering was, and though one would feed 100 persons possessed of right view, it would be even more fruitful if one would feed a single once-returner. As great as the Brahmin Vilama's alms offering was, and though one would feed 100 once-returners, it would be even more fruitful if one would feed a single non-returner. As great as the Brahmin Vilama's alms offering was, and though one would feed 100 non-returners, it would be even more fruitful if one would feed a single arahant. As great as the Brahmin Vilama's alms offering was, and though one would feed 100 arahants, it would be even more fruitful if one would feed a single Paskeka Buddha. As great as the Brahmin Vilama's alms offering was, and though one would feed 100 Paskeka Buddhas, it would be even more fruitful if one would feed a single perfectly enlightened Buddha. It would be even more fruitful if one would feed the Sangha of monks headed by the Buddha and build a monastery for the sake of the Sangha of the Four Quarters. It would be even more fruitful if, with a trusting mind, one would go for refuge to the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, and would undertake the five precepts, abstaining from the destruction of life, from taking what is not given, from sexual misconduct, from false speech, and from the use of intoxicants. As great as all this might be, it would be even more fruitful if one would develop a mind of loving kindness, even for the time it takes to pull a cow's udder. And as great as all this might be, it would be even more fruitful still if one would develop the perception of impermanence, just for the time it takes to snap one's fingers. Anguttara Nikaya 9:20, abridged, 4, 393 through 396. Chapter 6. Deepening One's Perspective on the World. Introduction. In interpreting suttas, we have to take account of the circumstances under which they were spoken and the persons to whom they were addressed. During the course of his long ministry, the Buddha had to adjust his teaching to people with different capacities and needs. He taught those given to reckless behavior to abandon their self-defeating ways and engage in wholesome actions that yield pleasant fruits. He taught those inclined to resign themselves to fate that present effort determines our present quality of life as well as our future destiny. He taught those convinced that personal existence ceases with bodily death, that living beings survive the breakup of the body and re-arise in accordance with their karma. He taught those not yet ripe enough for higher attainments to aspire for rebirth among the devas, the celestial beings, and to enjoy the bliss and glory of the heavens. A blissful heavenly rebirth, however, is not the final purpose for which the Buddha taught the Dhamma. At best, it is only a temporary way station. The ultimate goal is the cessation of suffering, and the bliss of the heavens, no matter how blissful, is not the same as the cessation of suffering. According to the Buddha's teaching, all states of existence within the round of rebirths, even the heavens, are transient, unreliable, bound up with pain. Thus, the ultimate aim of the Dhamma is nothing short of liberation, which means total release from the round of birth and death. What lies beyond the round of rebirths is an unconditioned state called Nibbana.